This is the Outsource Accelerator Podcast, exploring business and outsourcing mastery. Let's do it. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator Podcast. My name is Derek Gallimore, and this is episode number 99. Wow. So today I'm joined by Jim Yuan. We were joined by Jim on episodes number 66 and 80. So do go back to listen to those if you want more information on Jim and more about our discussions there. So Jim is an international man of mystery. Today we talk a little bit lighter. Well, that was the intention. We were going to talk about the beaches and the lifestyle in the Philippines and what it offers. But we dove a little bit deeper into the economics of that and the implications of that and the future opportunities for the Philippines. So I think you'll find that interesting. I certainly had a great time talking to him, and I hope you enjoy listening. So this is episode 99. If you want to get in touch with Jim or any of the show notes, then go to outsourceaccelerator.com/99. Today I'm joined again by Jim Yuan. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Derek.
And Jim's joined us previously. He has spoken previously about his impressions of the Philippines from a business and infrastructure point of view, and then also from the startup community and commercial side. So today we're going a little bit lighter. I want to get Jim's impression of the lifestyle of the Philippines and the ups and downs. So just as a bit of background, Jim was born in China, raised in the US, and has since been traveling the globe, pretty much working as a digital nomad at the moment with a background in IT consultancy and commercial strategy. He's now involved in the startup world. So, Jim, what are the beaches like in the Philippines?
Fantastic. Very pristine beaches. Beautiful. You know, in the Philippines, there's around 7,000 plus islands.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Huh?
I was recently in Palawan, actually, just a couple of days ago. It was in Corong, Palawan. My girlfriend and I did some island hopping over there, and it's just beautiful scuba diving and snorkeling and just being on the beach, just incredible.
Mm. And Corong's a magical place, isn't it?
It is a very magical place.
It's sort of like hundreds of very volcanic kind of Thunderbird-esque islands, and you know, kind of rock formations with a little bit of white beach around. And you really do wonder if there's ever really been any humans actually venture into the top of those.
Sometimes you do. We climbed up hills during the first day, and just seeing everything that's around it's so pristine, so beautiful. And not just Corong or Palawan, but if you go to Bohol, if you go to Cebu Island, anywhere in the Visayas especially, it's beautiful everywhere. Even if you go to the beaches in Luzon as well, it's just incredibly beautiful, unpolluted for the most part.
And it's largely untouched, isn't it? Because as you say, there's over 7,000 islands, I think 7,107 islands, and there are so many that are as yet uninhabited, unpopulated, and I mean, to be honest, they don't have any services, any utilities either, but there are still so many pure islands out there.
There is also animal national reserves as well. I think there's a couple near Cebu, in Bohol as well, and just in general, just very, very, very beautiful. If you like diving, if you like taking a yacht and just...
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the top three dive destinations in the world.
It is.
There's a lot of opportunity out there. I see it at least as comparable to Thailand, if not better. You know, there's far more beauty here or range of beauty and volume of beauty here than in Thailand. Yet Thailand has 10 times the tourism of the Philippines.
It does. Thailand is the second most well-traveled place in the world, second only to France. And, you know, but I do see that in Philippines, you might have a uptick in tourism in the coming years as well. Mm. You know, it's
the government's been very proactive with that. I think they're deregulating the airspace as well, so it's easier to get the airlines in here. And the government has said that they're really trying to encourage travel as of 2016.
As they should. There's certainly untapped opportunities. Mm. And I think you're going to see an uptick in tourists from mainland China coming in the coming years. Mm. I think there's a, the couple of years ago there was a little bit of bad relationships, but now
and I the think Taiwanese and Koreans.
Taiwanese
also,
has always
a popular
been
destination, isn't it?
Always been there. There's a daily flight from Taipei to Luzon, and also from South Korea. There's a lot of South Koreans coming over, but the one group that's you're gonna see a huge uptick is from mainland China. Mm. You're gonna see a lot of tourism. There's already a lot of mainland Chinese tourists going to places like Malaysia, like Indonesia, particularly a place like Bali, for example. And it's not a far stretch to imagine the same thing in terms of tourism and tourism income coming into the Philippines.
So in terms of getting the Western world to the Philippines, I have a theory that it starts with backpackers. You need to get backpackers in here, the more adventurous ones and the people that are more comfortable with adventure. And they go to places like India, and they go to places like Bali, and they go to places like Thailand, and then it gentrifies, and then there are better resorts, and then you get the fancier crowd go, and then you get the high-end crowd go eventually.
That's a very, very interesting hypothesis. I think it's quite possible. I've been telling a lot of my backpacking digital nomad friends to come to the Philippines. Mm. You know, it's beautiful out here, and there are actually a lot of backpacking digital nomads who settle in Cebu. Cebu is the digital nomad hub for the Philippines.
Yeah, that's strange. Huh? What's with that?
So there's this website.
There's
called
a few good restaurants. Yeah,
there is this website called nomadlist.com where you can filter by different conditions, and Cebu has a pretty high score on nomadlist.com, higher than Manila, because Manila is seen as the commercial capital, the financial capital of the city, whereas the financial capital of the Philippines, whereas Cebu is seen as the more laid-back, chill, Visayas Islands city, where you have the city life, but you also have the more countryside, if you wish. It's kind of like
Chiang Mai. As a bit of context, so Cebu is maybe 10 times smaller. It's far smaller population.
3 million people.
But it has the infrastructure you need, but then it's also right next to the beaches, and then right next to a whole slew of superb islands that you can island hop.
It does.
So it's got a good life balance.
It does. It actually has an IT park. So if you are a digital nomad, you want to do something in tech, the infrastructure is there. I actually got a friend, Rhett. He's from Australia. He started the company in Cebu, building out the internet infrastructure over there. He's trying to expand to the rest of the Philippines as well. So the pain point he's trying to solve is, look, the internet infrastructure is not as good. We need more fiber lines. So he started with his own building. He expanded across Cebu, basically building
out. Is that Evan Jones?
Rhett.
Okay.
Rhett. I think he has a brother as well. He works with his brother.
I met
him at a rugby tournament
In
Manila. But you might be talking about his brother. They run the company. They have a headquarters in Cebu.
It's amazing. I can't believe they're taking on like cable.
You know? They are like, very ambitious. You know, like taking on PLDT and other cable companies, as they should. I think there is room for a lot more players in this space. And I wish the best for them.
And then, so you're an ongoing digital nomad, and you know that's we could have an entire episode that on that in itself. But how do you find, and what motivates you? But how do you find these sort of places enabling your nomadism? Is it the cheaper lifestyle? Is it the sunshine?
Well, I like to go from place to place. I think that's it's a great thing to meet more diverse people and appreciate more diverse perspectives. And I consider both the United States and China as my home countries. But I feel like it's always great to at times step out of your home country, both China and the United States, and really see the world, which is more than those two countries. You know, the world is more and more fabulous. And sometimes when I go back to the U.S. or when I go back to China, I appreciate things more because of being able to step away for some time and then see the world through different lens. And sometimes as a nomad, when you step out of your home country, as you know, you might as well have done with Australia, you see it with a much more fresh pair of eyes because you kind of are not in the forest anymore, and you're able to see things from a fresh perspective and a much broader lens.
Which is very powerful if you are in the line of work of entrepreneurship and startups and innovation, yeah?
Absolutely.
Because I sometimes wonder, you know, all these people sitting in the boiler room of Silicon Valley and San Fran, they're all seeing the same things, you know? And there's a lot of value to getting out and experiencing the world and also seeing the world as it develops in the developing world.
I agree. I think that the best strategy for a startup, if you're a Silicon Valley startup, is to outsource or move your development team to a place like Cebu or Chiang Mai, Thailand, because it's so much cheaper. You know, it's so much cheaper. You know, apartment in San Francisco, $3,500 U.S. dollars. You can get something equivalent or even better in a place like Cebu or Manila,
and you live like a king.
Times less.
Yeah.
You can pay 10 times less for a developer in this part of the world. And then you can still staff your business development guys in Silicon Valley. Or if I were someone doing that, I would put that person in Portland, Oregon. And
I'm actually a major proponent of, obviously, you know, this podcast is about outsourcing and creating an outsourcing ecosystem. But I'm actually a major proponent of having the entire company operation sitting in a lower cost center, such as the Philippines.
I think you can have business development and fundraising in Silicon Valley, or for this part of the world, in Singapore or in Beijing.
But basically have
that's okay.
Minimal resources in the high cost centers.
Correct. Just one person, your CEO or your CFO. But have your CTO, have your VP of development in Cebu or Manila or Chiang Mai, somewhere much cheaper.
And I see a big opportunity there for BPOs. You can effectively market yourself as a virtual COO or effectively a virtual back-end operation for startups.
You could.
And Task Us is a little bit positioning like that. But just basically go to all of these well-funded startups, take them, a lot of them are young kids, and take them and say, we will operate your company and we're going to do it from overseas, but we will do it for you.
You could. I think, again, it's when you are a startup, the burn rate is huge and you want to minimize the burn rate as much as possible. I remember I took a trip to Silicon Valley once, and this was actually the most recent time was in early 2016. Just when I left Brazil and I was about to pack up for Thousands Asia, I took about 2 weeks. I was just visiting some friends in Palo Alto, and I remember staying at an Airbnb where it wasn't actually a room; it was a garage room, basically a garage that actually not even a garage. It was 1/4 of a garage that only fit a bed, had no ventilation whatsoever.
Wow.
Which would probably break a lot of laws in other places.
You've got to up your budget, Jim.
But I thought it was a tremendous bargain. I only paid $70 a night. That's a tremendous bargain near Stanford in Palo Alto. That's like, you don't find that anywhere. I was like, yes. Oh my goodness. Crazy. I was only paying $70 a night, which, you know, if you're in Manila.
I mean, Manila's more expensive, but actually in...
but you can still get something very nice.
In Bangkok, you'd get about a 4-star hotel for that.
You can probably, absolutely. Yeah. But even in Manila, you can get something quite nice. You could probably house for BPO workers.
Mm, absolutely.
For that money.
Yeah.
And you won't be in the garage for that.
Okay, hope you enjoyed that. That was Jim Yuan. If you want to get in touch with Jim, then go to outsourceaccelerator.com/99. And if you want to ask us anything at all, then email us at ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.